Well, there he is. There he is. You got a new look happening.
I do?
Yeah, you shaved your head and went full beard.
Looks it's not good. A new look. It's not a new look. It's
I don't
a
think
look
the hair has been as cropped this tightly in a while.
It's that's not good. Cropped. It's actually...
Did you have a fade?
No.
What do just, you call that?
This is just a one to the... Oh, you to the dome
a one.
Piece.
A you one did a
to
one the dome on, piece. Did you do your own one?
I did my own one to the dome
Why
piece.
Why don't you have one of those guys comes over? I always watch these Instagram videos about African American haircuts because I find them so interesting. It's like an art form. He takes and he cuts and he shapes and he did and then this and then jigga 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 jigga.
Yeah, some people are very much into lines and shape ups.
Yeah, you don't do that.
I don't. That's never been my style.
Look at what's in the background of Dan. Daniel, bring that thing close. Tell me you got a puppy.
We did get a puppy, and I'm trying to mute myself as much as possible so that she doesn't provide any annoyance. But 1 second.
Well, can you bring her close to the camera for the love of Yahweh?
I hope oh that my dog goodness! Shits on you.
This is Kelly.
It looks like an Ewok.
I know, right? Call her Ewok. Nook.
Yeah. Does it know?
Ewok Nook.
Celebrate the life. Yup,
yup.
Now, Daniel,
you know, there's actually people that know that freaking song.
I know the song, bro.
I know it by heart.
You don't know the lyrics.
I know Ichikiwaiwai.
You don't know the Ichikiwaiwai.
Celebrate the life. Yup, yup.
Yup, yup.
Daniel.
Hallelujah.
Did you choose it because it looked like a baby Ewok?
I would like to say yes, but really, Stephanie chose it.
Joel, have you seen the baby Ewok dog?
Yes. Adorable. I want to boop its snoot. It's so cute. Yeah.
I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed. We'll be boop snooting soon. I'm disappointed in the name.
What, little Kelly?
Yeah, the name. I get it. The name should be Wicked or Chief Chub Chub.
I think it should be Yub Nub. I think it should be Yub Nub.
Yub Nub.
We're still trying to get Kelly, so you know. Lord knows where it'll go from here.
Celebrate the life, yub nub.
Yub nub. It even has a theme song.
You're not going to
believe
how...
Celebrate the life of yub nub. It should be named
no,
yub
nub. What
Celebrate the life, yub nub.
I always laughed at the fact that the Ewok song, there just was no translation
no,
for Celebrate
in
the
language,
life.
In the language, in yeah. the universal so they, language.
Everything else was covered yes. in Ewokese, yes. but not Celebrate the life.
In the universal language, celebrate the life translates as celebrate the life in the yeah. universal language. Whether it's Ewokese, whether it's Tandoran. What is it?
Aren't you impressed that I know even some of the lyrics to the Ewok song? Yub nub chickadee wine, kajin kun tan
tan tan. You don't know any of it.
Yub nub.
All you know is celebrate the life. Yub nub.
Yub nub. Yub nub.
Hallelujah. I know there's a word. I think there's something like hallelujah.
It would be great, Joel, if you could track down someone who is
There's people on YouTube. There's people on YouTube.
Let's bring one of those people on who knows the whole
YouTube. There's a dude
YouTube,
on YouTube
who knows
who's
the whole
playing it like,
Ewok song.
Yeah, yeah. He plays it like on a mandolin and freaking plays.
Oh, my God.
The
You guys, this podcast is so popular that I'm walking around New York City with Bill and... Twice this happened. I'm wearing a mask and he's not. And people go, oh, that's that dude from Fake Doctors Real Friends.
Aha.
Wow.
That's sick.
Bill Lawrence is getting recognized not for being an epic Emmy-winning showrunner, but for being on the Fake Doctors podcast.
Boom.
You know, we do what we do for our people. You know what I mean? We try to help everybody out with their fame.
I'm just saying, and then
Bill,
all the
you're
time.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Bill.
And then all the time, people are coming up to me and saying how much they love the podcast. And it feels so great. Thank you, those who do that. It makes me so happy.
You know, I appreciate each and every one of them. You know why? Because they can put up with you, me, Daniel. I mean, anybody can put up with Joelle. Joelle is like the
She's the best. Truly the best.
Put up with.
Joelle, have you ever not got along with someone? You're so pleasurable.
Imagine you don't want to get on Joelle's bad side. I imagine whoever that person was is like
it takes
somewhere...
a lot to get me angry. It takes so much, but people have achieved it.
People have achieved it like it's a level in a game.
I feel like when it gets to that level though, Joelle's like, oh, you done fucked up now.
It's kind of over. And for life after gates are closed, I don't want to speak because after we've tried everything at that point, I've laid down some rules. I've given you some time to work and like achieve like getting better at, you know, my boundaries. And my boundaries aren't for everybody. Some people, you know, they don't want, that's fine.
Are we giving away a car today, Joelle?
No, not today. Thursday.
Have you ever had to lay hands on someone, Joelle?
No. Why would I fight? I don't understand.
Daniel, have you ever had to put... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm done. I'll fight.
Daniel, have you ever had to put hands on someone?
The short answer, no. The very slightly longer answer is the only time that I've ever punched anyone was in eighth grade when someone put my hat in a vending machine and I punched him in the stomach. That's it.
ZB, have you ever laid hands on
someone? Yeah, in defense, I didn't start it, but I fought back.
Joelle, I hear you, man. I hate when people try and start shit. And
why? Why am I going to mess up my beautiful face some people are like, you got to step to people. You got to teach them a lesson. You got to... Listen, no. I just have to stay out of your way, and you need to stay out of mine, and it's fine. I have a large friendship circle. They will protect me emotionally, physically, spiritually, if necessary. Yeah. I'm just not going to do it.
I don't need that in my life.
I was prepared to once, though, when an old man was trying to come onto a 12-year-old in a Starbucks.
Yeah, that's...
I had to...
That's when you have
like his hands out of his pants. I had to step in front of the two of them. Nobody was doing anything. He's being very loud and obvious about it. She's terrified. Oh, I was like, bro, you got to get out of here. And he was like, I'm just talking to her. Like, you don't need to talk to her. She's alone in a Starbucks. If she's not 14, like that's the max age she could be. I was ready that day, but it didn't come to it.
Good. Thank God.
So I went to Governor's Ball and saw Charlotte Lawrence perform. It was very exciting. I don't know if you saw the videos on the interwebs.
Amazing.
And it was so cool because I had the experience of not only seeing Charlotte, who I've known since a little kid, performing at this giant festival, but standing next to her father who, you know, there's a Yiddish expression called kvelling. And it means, my father used to always say it, it's when your just heart is so full of pride and you're just beaming at your child often. And he was kvelling, watching his daughter just rule the stage. And she was so funny. She had a couple fuck-ups. She did the funniest, but she like made a joke out of it. She had one big funny joke that got a laugh, and Bill goes, I wrote that. And then and then she's on the guitar. She has this moment where she goes and picks up the guitar, and she goes over to her guitarist, and they're like jamming together like people do on stage. And then you see her talking to him, and they both start laughing. And she goes over to the guitar plug and picks it up. The guitar wasn't plugged in for the moment that they were jamming together. And she makes this face like,
wow.
But my point is she knew even through fuck-ups to how to make a joke out of it, you know, in front of so many people.
That's amazing.
She's her parents' kid, man. That's awesome.
She sounded great. And then I went and saw, we had some time to kill. So we thought, I wanted to see Phoebe Bridgers, who was going to be on the same stage. But Meg Thee Stallion was on another stage. You're not going to believe this. Bill Lawrence and I went to Meg Thee Stallion. And I wish you could have seen a camera on me and Bill watching Meg Thee Stallion and her dancers dance very, very, very provocatively. I sent Donald a video, but I only know Meg Thee Stallion from the WAP video. I don't really know her music.
You don't know Savage? Classy?
Oh, yeah.
Boozy? You don't know that one?
Anyway, it's a lot like a strip pole show with music. There's a lot of naughty, naughty twerking, Donald.
That's great. I love that. That's great.
I know. I'm just saying, Bill and
I totally appreciate the fact that you two went and, you know, got a little bit of culture.
We did. We got some culture. I had two. We did two songs worth of twerking, and then we left.
What were the two songs?
I don't know, but there was heavy twerking involved in both of them. but then we watched Phoebe Bridgers, which was a little bit more our speed. but no, that was it. That was cool.
What kind of music does Phoebe Bridgers sing?
you know, it's singer-songwriter. You'd probably find it boring.
No, I like singer-songwriter stuff.
You know, it's a girl singing sad songs with her guitar.
You know who I like is...
But she's got beautiful poetry. What?
The young lady I like is... what's her name? Follow your arrow wherever it points. Country singer. Make lots of noise. Kiss lots of boys. Or kiss lots of girls. If Casey that's Musgraves. What you're into.
Yeah, Casey Musgraves. I was going to be Musgraves. My only guess. Yeah.
Casey Musgraves.
That's talent.
When
yes.
the straight and narrow gets a little too straight, roll up a joint. That shit is fire. Follow your arrow wherever it points down. Follow your arrow wherever it points.
<Not clapping. laughs>
Did you watch Amanda Kloots on Dancing with the
Crushed.
Stars?
Yep. Crushed it.
Crushed. Now, I don't know anything about this scoring, but giving her sevens for that was fucking bullshit. I think it must be one of these things where, like, they don't want to get your ego too high week one. Also, that basketball player, did you watch him? He was incredible, and he got low scores, too. Did you guys not watching this, Donald? You watched.
I did watch it. I'm not a big fan of people judging how other people dance. I think that's kind of, you know, whatever.
Okay, but didn't you think his scores were too low? He was incredible.
Yeah, of course they. Of course I do, but you know, hey, whatever. That's the way it goes.
Anyway, everybody listening, watch Amanda Kloots.
You know, if anything, what I took away from the whole show was vote Amanda Kloots, y'all. If you're listening to this and she's still on when this comes out, please vote Amanda Kloots.
Vote Amanda Kloots. Her dance was amazing, and I'm gonna watch tonight. I'm excited.
I'm gonna watch tonight too.
Yeah, Donald, I was live
it's
texting.
It's not just, well, you know who should have been on the show? Not Iman Shumpert, who's the basketball player you're talking about. His wife, Tiana Taylor.
Oh, hey.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
But that's
a
cheat, because she's like a professional dancer, though.
So is Amanda Kloots.
Oh, Amanda is.
Well,
so,
but in fairness to Kloots, I just want to give Kloots one fair thing, okay? Of course,
so
she's a
scary,
dancer.
So Spice, the Spice Girl. So's the freaking gymnastic girl.
So's JoJo. What's her name?
Yeah, all of that stuff is. All of those cats have taken dance class and all of that.
And
stuff.
Cody was a backup dancer apparently. But anyway,
unfortunately, Cody's not on right now because his.
I know. Did you hear what happened?
Man. Yeah, man.
Cody's partner got COVID, so he can't perform this week.
Oh, bummer.
You know what's bullshit? They should have given him some other pro to come in. And I'm sure the pro could have picked it up in a half a day or probably 10 minutes and danced with him. Don't you think that would have been better?
Well, it was the day before. It's literally,
I think. I know, but Shun.
I know, dude. I know.
Why not? If I was the producer of the show, I would have said, everyone, this is a stand-in, so you got to treat his points and everything. Be gentle. But he'll be dancing with Svetlana. Everybody, yay, Svetlana! Right. Svetlana could learn the routine in a half a day.
Who's Svetlana?
She's my stand-in professional dancer.
Oh, I thought you actually knew.
No,
like
but
that.
They often have like Eastern European names,
Svetlana,
right?
Svetlana sounded right. I did not doubt it. That's.
I don't know why they didn't do that. Like, bring in a ringer.
I don't know.
An understudy, if you will, Donald, to use a theater term.
Yeah. A backup dancer?
Well, I just feel bad for Cody.
Yeah.
But anyway, Amanda's...
Amanda Kloots, y'all.
Amanda Kloots. I don't know how long... When does this air, this one, Joelle? Do you have any idea?
We are so far ahead right now, dude.
This is going to air like mid-November.
All right. Should we get into the show?
We should totally get into the show.
Let's do it.
5, 6, 7, 8. Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of dogs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that you all should know. So gather round to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Donald.
This episode has so many things packed into it, Donald. I mean, sometimes you get an episode.
Jokes.
What?
All old jokes. Every joke in this.
They're not all old.
Pretty much
not
every joke
old.
In this is old jokes, except for the Turk and Carla storyline and the stuff that goes on with Cox.
There's some random ass shit. First of all, the riddle's not old. The hair mat's not old.
The riddle is old. The riddle, we did this one already. The riddle is old. That's why it's called My Deja Vu, My Deja Vu. We did this. Everything in this is all reused jokes. All of the jokes.
Wait
in
a
this.
Second. Yes. The riddle has already been on?
Yes.
Zach. No. Joel, really?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That's why at the end you say, oh, that's what happened to my bike, because he destroyed your bike glass the last time you rode it.
The hair mitt, all of the stuff. The whole show is all jokes from Scrubs past.
Oh, so that's like, that's so lame. It's like a what do they call it? A clip show.
It's not a clip show. We actually act out all of the old jokes, though. Did you watch the show? It's really funny.
I watched it, but I didn't. I'm sorry that my memory, I honestly went, oh, this is the one with the riddle. Oh, this is the one with Hairmet. I didn't know that they're rehashes.
Is, yeah, this is all rehashes.
How, why, it's so everything. Lame. Why did they do that?
I don't know. I mean, I guess they wanted to prove you could tell the same. It's all still funny. Like all of
no,
the Todd jokes.
But they must have just
all
been of the Todd, of, did you they laugh? Must have been really fucked in the writer's room. And they were like,
you didn't laugh at innuendo again?
I laughed at every single one of them, but yeah. I'm sorry that my brain can't even tell you that. I was under the impression I was hearing these for the first time.
There was a whole floating head doctor, a renewed whole floating head doctor short.
But that was a new floating head doctor.
That was a new floating head doctor short, yes.
Yeah, that stunt lady took some nice hits to the head.
Yeah, to the head.
All right, so Cox returns from his hiatus, trying to drink himself to death, as he put it. And yes. I give him a big hug. It's said on Scrubs Wiki, this is the second time we ever hug.
Right. Does he hug you back, though?
I don't think so. And yes, I say, you really sent hard. Those demons right back to hell, didn't you? I was out of my mind in this episode, dude.
Yeah, this whole episode is out of its mind, dude.
Even I know, but I was extra effeminate and extra silly, and I enjoyed it, don't get me wrong, but I was like on blow or something. I mean, not in real life. The character was extra hyper.
Yeah. Well, we should also talk about, first of all, we should talk about Ernie. These are the things in the show that weren't deja vu. Ernie the homeless man.
Okay. Welcome back, Coxer.
Welcome back, Coxer.
Now, how hard did you laugh when I'm going off on my run?
Oh, dude. Who'd have thought they'd need us? That was a run I was going to do, but I guess it's a little awkward now. That shit was hilarious.
And also,
I remember us shooting. This is the only part of the episode that I remember us shooting. Everything else, I don't remember. But what? Who'd have thought they'd need you?
That was a run that I was going to do. No, and awkward. When I'm like, well, them names, then the names, and the thumbnail. I wish I still had a Welcome Back Coxer t-shirt. Those were nice.
Yeah. Yeah, they were nice.
That was a run that I was going to do, but now it's awkward. Now,
who'd
I don't know
thought
why,
they need you?
Why am I riding Sasha through a ring of fire? Can you explain that to me?
Because this is what you do. You get it's a routine of yours that has developed.
I had to run an errand, so I grab an apple.
As always, you get a lunch.
My lunch was the apple off an apple tree, and then I did something else, and then I rode through a ring of fire.
Which then there's a callback later on.
Yeah, but you just run through the ring of fire.
Yeah, Turk jumps through it.
That was your stunt double, though.
Yeah, like this episode was nuts, man.
Yeah, it was bad shit.
I don't remember some of this shit. Like some of the things that like Turk gets to watch Sanford and Son because Carla's reading her book, and so all of the great things that happen to him. The one where really fucked it up was like he offers her a burrito. He has two. He offers her one, and she says no. He puts the burrito off screen and does a little hand movement.
Yeah,
and
all fast, of a sudden fast
it's
motion.
It's one gigantic burrito.
That's so stupid.
I wish I had that ability. I wish I had that ability.
Do you ever watch the guys who roll the burritos when you're like at one of those places, you know, whatever, it's Chipotle or something better, and you're like, they're never going to be able to roll this one.
It's right, too it's thick. Too big.
It's too thick. But they always do.
They always find
tuck
a way.
It in.
They always
I bet
get
burrito
it.
Employees are good baby swaddlers.
Probably. Probably, because that's what you're pretty much doing.
But anyway, you know what I learned on the burrito. Interwebs? Do you know who wrote the Sanford and Son theme song, Dahl?
If you say Alan Thicke.
No.
Who?
Quincy
Barry
Jones.
Manilow.
Quincy Jones.
Quincy Jones.
It was Quincy?
Really?
No way. Yeah.
That was on the interwebs. Ba-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum. We license that shit like every other week. We're paying Quincy money he doesn't need. By the way, I met J.J. Abrams' daughter. I was trying to angle for a part for you because she's one of Charlotte's best friends, and she was very nice. She's a singer too, and but I'm staring and I'm going, how can I get Donald a job through J.J.?
I know J.J. I did Felicity with J.J.
I know, but I thought if
J.J. wants to use me, he knows how to.
I just thought if the daughter came home and said, Dad, you know who's so funny? Donald Faison. He might be like, yes, I worked with Donald back before I was a mega director.
That would help a lot, actually.
Yeah, I was trying for you.
that always helps, I guess. When the kids come home and say, Dad, you know what?
Yeah.
This dude
That's
is fire.
That's how Mads Mikkelsen ended up in Rihanna's music video. Bitch better have my money. His kids were like, you can't pass up an opportunity to work with Rihanna. He was like, I don't know who that is. And they were like, please work with Rihanna, Mads Mikkelsen. And he was like, okay,
kids get a lot of stuff done.
What a good casting.
I want to tell
Mads Mikkelsen. I want to, you guys got to watch, listeners, did I mention The Hunt already? You guys got to watch this movie with Mads Mikkelsen called The Hunt.
That shit is wild.
It is dark as fuck. You cannot be someone who doesn't, and I don't mean thriller horror dark. I mean emotionally dark, like you're going to be in the fetal position when it's over. But
it might
it's
wreck
so
you a bit.
Good.
Let's take a break.
We'll be right back after these fine words. We really did the riddle before? I could have sworn this was the...
You are a fucking mook right now.
Okay, so Cox doesn't... he's afraid to diagnose Mrs. Goldstein. He's lost his mojo.
Right. We assume that he has...
Well, he is. He reveals in the end.
At the end, right. He comes clean in the end. But that's because Elliot kind of forces him. Now, I never looked at their relationship as a problemed relationship. I thought they had their disagreements and everything like that. But
today, this episode, he says to her, I wrote it down. Cox says Elliot is not his favorite.
Yeah.
To her face.
And he says, and I bet you can agree. I'm sure you agree with what I'm saying and you feel the same way about me. You know,
yeah, but I never knew that. I never digested that they had a relationship like that. But yeah, he was always tough on her. He fucks with her a lot.
Yeah, but I thought it was out of love. It turns out it's not. It's out of the fact that he just doesn't like her. You know, at the end, he shows that he respects her.
I wonder why he doesn't like her.
I don't know.
The Johnny tattooed on Kelso's butt has been said before?
Yes.
He was an old Navy buddy, and if you knew what we went through, you'd understand.
Yes.
Damn it. I laughed at that. I feel stupid now. I laughed at the joke at the same time.
You know what joke had me? Okay, so this joke had me rolling. Okay. She'll have a ginger ale, he'll have a beer, and I'll have an apple teeny. You know what? The hell with it. I'm going to have a real drink. Make that a nectarini. Kevin goes, I don't know what that is. JD goes, oh, come on, Kevin. You know. Make it. Make it.
And then it comes... And I go, dynamite nectarini. That man knows his way around nectar.
About nectar.
I was like Sean Hayes in this episode.
Dude, this episode is like, well, that joke is, first of all, where's the punchline in the joke other than the nectar? You know what I mean?
It's just the word nectar is funny. That's all.
But even before that, though, oh, come on, Kevin, you know, make it. That's the punchline of that part of the joke.
Oh, come on, Kevin, you know. Make it.
It's fucking hilarious, dude. Like, don't act like you.
What the hell is a nectarini?
I don't know.
Is it a real drink, Joelle? What's in a nectarini?
I've never heard of it, but I'll look it up right now.
How about when I pass the basketball to Leonard and he catches it with his hook hand and pops it?
No ball in the hole. That's a freaking actual, that's also a... Deja vu moment.
And now, two things. I say, don't worry about the ball. They come three to a can.
Tennis.
Yes. And then did you notice that Leonard has to duck for his afro to get underneath the doorway? Poor Leonard. I mean, he's a security guard. He's pacing around the hospital, and every doorway he has to duck because of that hairstyle.
Yeah. Hilarious. What is he pacing around? Like, he doesn't have a station. He doesn't have a station where they can be like.
He's Leonard's the type of security guard that has to walk the halls and see if like there's any like, trouble.
Is it like a sentry?
Yes. Well, here we go. Prosecco. It's a Prosecco cocktail made with fresh nectarines. Nectarines and chilled Prosecco.
That's it.
Oh, it's kind of like it's kind of like a mimosa, but instead of orange juice, nectarine juice.
Oh, come on, Kevin. You know.
Make it. Now we learned that Troy went to Yale, which has to.
This is all deja vu, dude.
Troy going to Yale was deja vu.
Deja vu, bud.
Okay, analgesic. I remembered was deja vu.
Yes.
That
I learned it from watching you. Made me laugh so hard.
That's funny.
Oh my god!
For those of you who don't know, there used to be a public service announcement about drugs, right? And do you remember that, Donald?
Yeah, man.
And there was what was the drug that the parents were doing?
It was weed.
Yeah. So the whole idea for the PSA, this is when Donald and I were growing up, and it was definitely at least in the tri-state area, and the parents were like, "Where did you? Who taught you how to do this?" And he found like the kid's weed, and the kid was like, "I learned it from watching you."
He goes, "You okay? I learned it from watching you."
Yeah, and it was like supposed to be a PSA to parents, like. You know, don't smoke weed in front of your kids, or they're going to smoke weed.
Right, they're going to smoke just like you.
Yeah, I'm sure you could find it on YouTube.
I learned it from watching you. But even the monologue when you walk into the hospital in the beginning of the show, and he does the monologue, the rhythm of it, and you stepping in between it, and for the punchline, and then him going back into nevertheless and whatever it is, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That all. Deja vu, like all of it, like this whole.
I think we need to have an Ask Bill here. I know it's hard to track him down now that he's an Emmy winner, but Bill,
big time,
Bill. Now that
Dollar you're Bill,
we know you're big time and you're an Emmy winner now, and probably won't return our call. But why did you do this episode and just repeat all these jokes? Was the writers' room so backed up that your idea was, what if we did a deja vu episode and repeated all of our greatest hit jokes?
Well, it's not even the greatest hit jokes, though. Let's keep it honest.
There's some pretty darn good ones.
Some great ones, actually. But some of them are ones that people missed before. So it's like, you know, obviously you didn't recognize it because you forgot about the... You thought this was all the first time these jokes came through.
So. All right. Well, Bill, what was the reason behind repeating all these jokes in my deja vu?
Ask Bill. Okay. You know what you guys should ask Bill? Hey, Bill, how you feeling, man? How you doing? You lonely? Because if you did ask Bill that, the answer would be no, I'm good. anyways, yeah, my deja vu. Here's a scoop. It's really hard to come up with all the stories we came up with on Scrubs because one of the things all these physicians, and we tried to be realistic, you know, as a medical show, and one of the things all the physicians that we interviewed would often say is, the amazing thing is that you kind of sometimes see the same things over and over and over and over. And then we kind of got obsessed with, you know, maybe we could do the same medical stories with two patients, you know, or with a patient and in the hospital, but with different endings, because sometimes people come in and it goes differently, right? And also, we were way behind, and so this felt like a great idea to do an episode quick, because if it's called My Deja Vu, Deja Vu, we all tell stories twice, we all tell jokes twice, and the laziest thing we did in this episode was we did the janitor C story, the riddle, line for line, except for one change. Line for line and shot for shot. Do you know what the one change is? We should ask Bill. Ask Bill. You know what you guys should ask Bill when you ask Bill sometimes? Is you should ask Bill how he's feeling. And, you know, hey, Bill, when we ask Bill, how are you doing? You know what that Bill would say? That Bill would say, you know, I hide it, but sometimes I'm not so great. So, I don't know. Anyways, the one difference in the longest Ask Bill ever, the one difference was the janitor changed where he went to college. The first time we did it, I think he said he went to Harvard, and the second time he said he went to Yale. There's your trivia answer. Peace out. How are you guys doing? See ya.
Thank you, Bill.
Carla says if she can't do things, Turk can't do things.
Now, did this happen to you? Is this a thing that really happens to couples?
I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does. My wife didn't do that to me. When my wife was pregnant with our kids, dude, I got to get as fucked up as, like, that was the best part about it. Like, I was like, I'm going to party tonight. We're going out tonight. We're going to go eat sushi. And she's like,
oh, because you had a built-in designated driver.
Yeah. I was like, we're going to get sushi. She's like, I can't eat sushi. I was like, you could eat the hot plates. And she was like, you're right. I can't eat the hot plates. I do like the hot plates. And we'd go and we'd eat sushi and I'd fucking get bombed on sake and she'd fucking drive us.
Now, I have a question. See, couples deal with this differently and you're our only father. So I guess listeners will be answering to their phones. But I hear that like some couples do this. They're like, no, you have to do it with me. You can't drink. You anything.
That's selfish. That's bullshit.
That's what bullshit. About in the middle of the night when the mom has to get up to breastfeed and
that's some selfish. Women, that's bullshit.
Some women make the father get up too to sit with her.
That's cool. Yeah, that's to be. I don't know about get up and sit with them, but I do believe that if you have bottles and stuff like that, and you're doing it that way, the
right. But what about in the scenario where the baby just needs to breastfeed?
If you make me get up,
is the father expected to just get up and sit there?
That ain't right. That's selfish, man.
Joelle, do you have any knowledge of this?
That's selfish.
Yeah, because my dad was the only one who could get me to go back to sleep, so he was up. Like my mom was like, she doesn't go to sleep with me, so you have to be up.
That's a different story. That's a different story.
But I would think totally. I would think that in my non-child having head, so mothers, feel free to correct me, but like, wouldn't I want my partner to be asleep so that later I could be asleep and they could be up? I feel like we have to tag team this child anyway, so yes. I don't need us both being equally as exhausted, my thought.
Amanda and Nick, I think, did a version of that, where like, Amanda would just let Nick sleep and while she would breastfeed, and then in the morning, she'd be like, you're taking the baby on a long-ass walk, and I'm going to sleep.
Yeah.
And they had a little situation like that.
Yeah. That's the right way to do it.
Yeah.
Especially, okay, so actually, more than anything, communication is the right way to do it. If you guys can come up with a plan, it works. The fact that Carla just springs this on Turk, like, no, this is the way it's going to be.
She bitch slaps a beer out of your hand.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
was funny, though.
But I do that with my kids now, where my kid will be like, I'm drinking this. And I'll be like, you better not drink it. You better put that back in the fridge. And he goes, I'm going to open it. And he'll open up it. You better not sip it then. And he'll sip that shit, and that's when hell breaks loose.
You bitch slap out of his head.
And then he sits there, and then he'll stand there like, I can't believe you just hit that out of my hand.
What will it be? Something with caffeine or something?
No, like, you know, so I made the mistake.
Oh, God.
These are the mistakes you make in life. I let them taste Sprite, and I let them taste Canada Dry Ginger Ale.
Yeah, they have sugar-free versions of those. If you're gonna,
yeah, but the sugar-free version is just as bad as the sugar version. Regardless of what is in it, it is not necessarily a good thing for them to drink. No. But I made the mistake one time of saying, "You want to try?" Like me being, I was literally, I could feel the devil coming out of my skin. You want to try this, little boy? Oh, you want to try this, little girl? Knowing that the minute they tasted it, it would be like, I must have this forever and ever and ever.
Why don't you just not have it in the house?
We don't have it in the house. But anyway, but when it is in the house, he'll be like, can I have some ginger ale? I'll be like, no. And he'll be like, look, my kid is the king of manipulation. He's like, I'm just trying to have a conversation with you, Dad. I'm like, we had the conversation. I said, no. He's like, that's not a conversation. That's you telling me no. That's all that is. We're not talking about anything. You haven't even heard what I'm asking for.
Oh, my God.
This is my son. This is
where does come from?
I have no clue.
I think kids are good at they know their parents are tired, right? And they just know, like, if they keep it going, the parent is just exhausted. They're like, I can't win. Just shut up.
Have it. Fine, it's yours. Fine. You win. But don't you think
kids play on that? They know that you're just always tired. So that you're just going to be like, oh, fine. Have it.
He's a little ass. Sometimes, though, like, he's a dummy sometimes. Like, one time he did that, and as he's walking away with the prize, he goes, and that's how it's done. I knew if I just pressured her, it would work out.
Oh, my God.
And then he walks by and walks out the room, right, with whatever it was, maybe whether it's a donut, a soft drink or whatever the fuck it is. He's now exited and is about to go and do what it is that he wanted to do. And he lets out what the plan was. And oh, me and my wife both look at each other like, what the fuck this motherfucker did? What the fuck?
He's running that house over there.
He runs the show.
Rocco,
right now.
Future CEO over here. He runs the show. Understands. Right
now. Yeah. And he just gets the art of you say no, and he finds a way to make it so that no was the wrong answer. You know what I mean? It's like, no, I said no. You're not even having a conversation. I did have the conversation with you.
Yeah, the answer's no.
I said no. No, that's not even where we're at yet. I haven't even explained to you the scenario or what it is I'm trying to do. What I'm trying to say is, Rocco, I said no, and now you're interrupting me.
Oh, my God.
I wish you just let me finish.
I'm not having kids.
Yeah, don't do it.
This child would not survive the 80s.
We need someone on this podcast who promotes how great having kids is, because this podcast is making me not need them.
You know, I'll tell you this right now.
But they sound exhausting.
But then this weekend, it's true, but then this weekend, we went out and watched him play a soccer game against a bunch of other kids, and they all, like, his team, the team that they were playing against was obviously better than them, was better passing, all of that stuff, but his team won by 1 point. It was a penalty kick, and Rocco kicked the penalty kick into the goal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Nice. And it was 1-0, and it was a hard-fought game, and they're, you know, our goalkeeper, he blocked like at least 10 shots directly at him. It was just an amazing game. 1-0. Go.
Congratulations.
Team.
I laughed at when I get your coffee, I go, please have some sort of nut.
It's Hazel.
It's Hazel.
I only like one type of nut milk in my coffee. Almond. That's it.
No, I think I was talking about the coffee blend itself. It was hazelnut coffee.
Do you like hazelnut?
I do. I only like oat milk in terms of milk.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like almond. Why?
Because I like the taste of oats, and really? I think it makes a nice flavor.
Best
a lot of people
substitute.
A lot of people are allergic to oats.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't.
A lot of people are allergic to almonds.
I don't have real milk in my coffee anymore. Library,
strawberry.
These are all old jokes.
Yes.
I feel so.
I will say this.
What's the word?
Neil's response to each one of Troy's buttons is different.
Okay.
That's not deja vu. Neil's not saying the same joke with him, but the whole thing with the coin, we just watched that earlier.
Okay. Well, let's talk about how floating head doctor and how body kills Elliot.
Yes. And then floating head doctor and body fight.
Get into
each
other. A fight.
Yes.
And it's body well wins. Shot, we should say, by Linda Mendoza, our director of the week.
Deja vu, written by who though?
Schwartz, I believe. Mike Schwartz. Let me double check my notes. Yes, Mike Schwartz and Linda Mendoza. We're going to get a break, and we'll be right back after this. And we're back!
I wonder when... Is this the Christmas episode? Are we near the Christmas episode for Fake Doctors, Real Friends? Is this around the holidays yet? Are we near the holidays?
Check. Well, I want to say that Cox finally comes around and has a very heartfelt conversation with Elliot. And I thought that was well done. And he's so mean to her. I think she said, you've never shown me an ounce of respect. And then he confesses to her that he was indeed petrified to make a decision on his patient's health care.
Yep.
And he didn't want anyone to know. And he said, I hope that in telling you this, you see that I do indeed respect you.
Yes.
I thought that was well acted by them both.
Both of them, yeah. Well, this episode, everyone else is in peripheral. These two are actually center stage telling the A story. And it's a great It's a great fake out too, you know, like you honestly believe that Cox is back and he's fine, but in all honesty, he's still, it's still in him and he still feels, you know, he still feels the guilt.
I'm sure that happens to real doctors when they make a call that was wrong. I could imagine they get in their head and second guess themselves.
But if you're a good doctor
as well.
If you're a good doctor, you push forward, keep it moving.
The World Spins Madly On by the Weepies is a beautiful song the show ends to. The Weepies is a great band, if you don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, who are the Weepies? Tell us about the Weepies.
Well, they're a couple, and they just have a lot of beautiful music. Put them into your Spotify, and I guarantee you, you will enjoy a lot of their music. It's very, like, chill, Laurel Canyon vibes, couple harmonies. Nice. The world spins madly on.
Troy might have killed somebody in confusion. Like, it's a possibility. Like, somebody confused him so much that he was like, kill him!
Troy, Troy seems to not get that the janitor doesn't really want me dead. He likes to torture me, and he likes to ruin my life. But Troy keeps having to be told that, no, we're not going to kill JD.
But he's so eager to do it also.
Right. I just feel like, what would happen if Troy
wanted to... If the muzzle was off?
Yeah, it's like, you know, I used to have this cat, and the cat would be out all night. It was an outdoor cat. It came in and out. But when it was out at night, it would leave offerings of the animals it caught on the back deck. It would leave a little rat. It would leave a little bird.
Just a little bit.
And that's kind of what cats do for who they perceive to be the leader of the pack. Was this
your cat?
Yeah, it was our family cat.
Okay.
But in terms of the cat mentality, they want to leave offerings to the leader of the pack. Man, look what I caught for you, great leader.
Right. Here is my contribution.
Right. Here is what I did last night. And I thought, what if Troy did that for Neil and killed me and left me on... left me on the janitor's back porch.
My God.
That would have been a good fantasy.
I'm no Superman. Finale.
Over.
Done. I'm no Superman. Finale.
It turns out I was not a Superman because I'm dead.
Right.
Oh, no.
I'm no Superman.
Gonk.
Series finale. Tonight on a very special episode of Scrubs, it's the series finale.
See my new tattoo that I showed you guys?
The skull?
That's so cool. I really like it.
Why'd you get a skull?
I got a skull because... I guess I got a skull because I just like skulls.
Okay. I understand. It's just, it's a skull.
I know, but I like, it's not a scary skull.
It's a skull.
It's just a cute skull. All right, Joel, let's bring the caller in.
We got a caller who gave us a holler. We can talk Star Wars or sing show tunes, you know, like a baller. Smoke some jazz cabbage. Maybe talk about the episode.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Michelle!
Hi, Michelle.
I know that face. Are you still married?
Back.
The question is, are you still married?
Oh, is it still my working goodness. Out? Yes. Is that Michelle? Oh, Joelle, Christmas has come early.
Yes,
Michelle, I'm worried that you're sitting alone. Is that a bad sign?
It is not. Okay. My husband had to go on a business trip. We are still married.
A business trip.
And by business trip, he went to go.
Let's remind our listeners who have missed the episode. Michelle, please interrupt me if I summarize this in any incorrect way. Michelle went to her husband and said that she would like to have sex with his best friend. And her husband said, okay.
He didn't say okay. He was like, yes.
Yeah. I would like. And he was not allowed to be there. They would go off and do it at the friend's house. And they do it monthly, Michelle?
Every other week.
Oh, sorry, bi-monthly.
Yes.
And the friend still hangs out with them at their house. They're all tight. And at last check-in, the husband had not yet been given an opportunity to have the same sort of situation on her side of things.
But so Michelle did say it was all good if he did want to do it. They just had to find the right person.
Right, Michelle. What is going on in this wacky family?
Well, I am sorry to tell you that it is not very much of an update. Everything is still good. he has not done anything, but he knows that he has permission. We've discussed it at length. So I don't know if he wants to, and I am not going to pressure him into doing it just so that it feels okay for me.
Right. Whenever you return from your date with the friend, does he ever ask questions like, what did you guys do? What did you watch? Does he have curiosity about it?
He usually asks like, what'd you watch? And we watch, you know, a movie or a show or, you know, whatever it might be. He has never really asked details about the other activities.
Right.
But, you know, I just say it was a good evening, or, you know, me and the friend obviously have conversations too. And if something relevant comes up, we'll talk about that. Not even relationship wise, just we're friends who talk about things, have similar interests.
I have a question.
Go ahead. I call on you, Donald.
Do you worry about forming a deeper relationship with
the best good question, friend? Donald.
No, I mean, and that was my husband's, one of his concerns with this is like, understandably, you know, my husband and I have been together for, this Saturday will be our 11th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
We've been together for 17 years. I'm 33. So I've been with him my entire adult life. Mm-hmm. So like, there's nothing that can be deeper and more profound than that connection that we have already.
Yeah. You guys knew each other since junior high school, you said?
Since high school.
High school. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think I would be insecure about, I know I've said this before, but on so many levels, there's the, what if he's better at sex, or I'm not better at sex, but what if they have a better sexual chemistry than we do?
What if it's bigger than mine?
Of course. What if his penis is bigger and more satisfying and girthier? What if, you know, and of course, as Donald put it, what if all of a sudden they just hit it off and they have this incredible emotional connection that's deeper than ours? That would make me so nuts.
Yeah. And I mean, we've talked about that at length, probably more so than a regular relationship, because we've brought this up. You know, that is not, it's hard to know because you're just getting little snippets of our lives. But, you know, when this first came up, my husband's like, asked those exact same questions. What if, you know, you fall madly in love and you run away with him? And I said, okay, let's play that out. The friend would never, ever let that happen. Like, even if I'm like, oh my gosh, I love you, like, let's run away together, he doesn't want to deal with my kids.
But what if the friend, I hear what you're saying, but do you ever think, when you're fully honest with yourself, that the friend might have very strong feelings for you?
Yeah. And that is valid. And
Michelle, does he date outside of this situation?
He has not yet. He is on dating apps. He's looking around. We talk about it. Like, sometimes when I go over there, we'll look at the matches and I'll help him like craft messages.
And you won't be jealous when he is with somebody else?
No. And I check in with him probably annoyingly frequently and make sure like we're all good. Like, whatever you want on that end, like, you just have to let me know. You know, I will do this as long as everyone is comfortable and having a good time. If you feel like you need more out of a relationship, like an actual relationship where you can, you know, foster something long term, get married, what have you,
yeah,
j- just tell me.
Yeah, and because you don't want him, especially if he's your friend, getting stuck in a situation where he's like, all right, here's my conundrum. I love Michelle, but she's never going to be mine because we've established the parameters. But I don't care. I'm obsessed with her. Maybe one day she'll change her mind. So I'm not going to go out and find my life partner. That could happen, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And like, I have told him that please, I want everyone in this situation to be happy. And whatever that takes, like before we even started this, before anything happened, when we had the initial discussion, like, hey, would you be interested in this? I told him, and we had this discussion that, you know, our friendship comes first. Like that was his main concern. He's like, I don't want this to negatively impact our friendship. You know, the three of us have been friends for a long time. We lost touch for a few years, like right before the pandemic. And then the pandemic kind of brought us back into the fold. So that friendship bond is there. We just have a little extra.
I got to tell you, Michelle, whatever it is, it's working for you because you definitely look happy. You know what I mean? Even from when we saw you the first time, it's like a complete glow up. I don't know if it's the hair.
Well, your hair is different, but she
matching
looks
the eyes, whatever it is, but it's like a glow up. So you seem happy. So whatever it is you guys are doing,
I know, but I'm
fascinated. Definitely works for you.
But Donald, I'm fascinated by the fact that Michelle is pulling off this balancing act. I
know. Well, she's juggling. She definitely is juggling.
But
no matter what
she
says,
the best situation.
Yeah, man. It's like, what do I want tonight? Beef or chicken? You know what I'm saying? It's on the She's juggling it. There's nothing wrong with that.
I saw Neil Brennan did a show that I highly recommend you guys see at the Cherry Lane Theater if you're in New York. It's incredible. But he made some joke that was like, your wife wants to have sex 3 or 4 times a week, just not necessarily with you. And I thought that was funny. And Michelle's living her best life like that. But Joelle, what are your thoughts on this? You're a very progressive woman. I'm speechless. Do you have any thoughts on this?
What really impresses me is Michelle's ability to communicate. I feel like a lot of people, when they view polyamory, they think of like, oh, well, now you have little sex partners and it's like fun and wild. But for my friends who are in polyamorous relationships, the most difficult part is like, now I got to juggle 4 people's emotions and figure out how they all feel. Like I have a friend who dates couples, right? They're like, I don't want to be in a committed relationship, but I'm looking for like the feelings of love without having to fall in love. And I mean, when you're with a couple, like that's really messy. You're like working with both of their like needs and desires, but also they come with their own like couple baggage. And so it's hard, I think, to have successful relationships like this.
I was going to say the same thing, Joelle. Like what happens when he does find another relationship, but you guys still keep your relationship going and the other person has to find their way into this.
Sell this whole fucking thing to Bravo. That's what happens.
Oh, this isn't. I promise you, this isn't new. This happens all the time.
But it's new to me. Even Joelle using the proper lingo, polyamorous relationships, it's new to me. I don't know. Michelle is the first person I've ever spoken to who's doing this successfully. I'm sure a lot of our listeners all over the world are hearing about it for the first time. I mean,
some are doing it successfully,
and some are listening while they're fucking their husband's best friend. They're fucking him right now, being like, it's like us.
Oh, buddy.
Oh, wonderful.
By the way, sorry, this is a side note, Michelle, if you don't mind my digression. Joelle sent Donald and I a link for someone who wants to advertise on our show, and I don't want to say the product name because I don't want to give them an ad before we decide. But Joelle, send the link to Daniel so he knows what it is. It is a thing you put your penis into, and it blows. Is it blow air on it?
Yes,
Donald?
It's suction. It's suction and blowing.
Yeah,
it's like it's pressure. It's air pressure.
It's not a. It's not a. It's not a fake vagina. Thing.
It's actually made for men.
It's not a fleshlight.
And women. It's men and women.
It's for the phallus, Donald.
I know, but no, they're saying the same thing that they do. There's a suction thing that they have for women now that they can put on their clitoris. It's the same technology, but
okay.
Only
but Joelle, I was shocked sticking. A, but that you wanted us to advertise this on the podcast, and B, that I don't have one at my home to Bro, try.
I was going to say we should at least try these things out.
Joelle, I just want you to know the product like that. We have to test it to see
these things must be.
I can't endorse
researched.
I can't endorse the Dyson penis sucker until I've tried it.
The 5,000 until.
And send Daniel one too, Joelle.
Yeah,
okay?
Gonna,
oh boy. Okay.
Oh, jeez. Did you see it, Daniel? Oh, there's a whole video. I was like, I went to their website because I was obviously curious. And I was like, how are they going to do a demonstration video? They clearly smartly use animation, not real people. But it's
fascinating. Does it promote anything? Does it promote anything like birth?
Actually, their ad campaign is that. Don't you ever wish you could have an orgasm on the scale of a female orgasm? and this product says that it will give the male the explosive nature
Joelle,
of a female.
Joelle, why haven't we received
said product
from
We are not, listen, company. If you work for this company, we are not advertising for you until we get samples.
Yes.
For discussion. All right, I'm sorry, Michelle. I had to bring that up. Well, listen, the good news is that things are good and nothing bad has happened, and you are living proof that people can be in polyamorous relationships and be happy. And it doesn't even have to be reciprocated in a sense that your husband seems fine not having his own situation.
I wonder if his best friend, that's the thing. I wonder if his best friend, when he does find a relationship, because he is actively looking, I wonder if he introduces, have you guys talked about him introducing his relationship into this?
He hasn't gotten very far in that world.
He's not going on dates.
Right. He's you know, made some matches and talked to a few people, but he has told me he will be totally open with where he is at in that process. And I am the kind of person that if he starts going on dates, I'm going to ask him, where do you want to introduce this? Like, do you want to just, you know, cut this off for a while? Or
well, you also want to make sure you're safe, because if he's out there having sex with randos.
Yes.
Yep. But also, yep. I mean, another thing that's, let's just state that's obvious, is he's having his sexual needs met. So that hunger to go out and search for a mate is probably lessened, because he knows bi-monthly.
He's like, not this week, but next week.
And I, when he told me he had downloaded these dating apps, I'm like, do you want to stop this and, you know, just start clean? And his response was, it feels good to have that self-confidence of being active. And so
he was like, what you talking about? Stop.
He's like, stop. I love his very diplomatic answer. No, I don't feel that would be the best prescription.
You want to stop what we doing? Wait, hold on now.
Yeah, exactly. You want to stop the...
I was bullshit when I said I was looking at the apps. I wasn't serious.
All right. Well, I imagine we just came on for a catch us up, right? You don't have
unless
any
you
questions.
Have any questions.
No, she can't have any questions. This woman's life is all figured out. She's got it all going.
Do you have a fix your life?
I don't. I just want to clarify one thing.
Go for us.
We haven't labeled this, like, we are just living this life. But I think the term open marriage is probably more appropriate than polyamory.
Okay.
So
I don't know. We just go by Joelle. She's our term. She's our term.
That's very fair, though. We'll refer to it as that.
Okay. So listeners who are also learning, there's a difference between polyamory and just open marriage.
Right. And I will say, people on the internet are not very nice. I don't know if you knew
that.
No,
they're not. They're not. You know what? You know what? But don't let
they didn't come find you, did they? From our show?
No. Oh, okay. No one has come and found me. But I
we're using an alias for you, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Oh, I thought you were implying for a second that people had found you from our show and were being unkind. I didn't like
that.
No.
How did you mean it?
How did you mean
like
it?
Like, in a comment section from when the original episode posted, I looked for those.
Well, you need to learn now that you're in the... Now that you're in the pretend public eye, you need to know to never read a comment section about yourself.
Ever.
Yep. Lesson to learn.
Everybody has an opinion, man. Everybody has an opinion.
You know what? If you're happy...
It's so easy to cast judgment, too, it seems like. You know what I mean?
And if you're happy and everyone's being honest, then it's nobody else's business, you know?
Yep.
It's like Donald and Casey and I. Yep. We're talking about doing
Shut the fuck up. You will never.
We are. It's in discussions. It's in discussions.
Zach, I love you.
It's in discussions.
Sorry. Oh, discussions.
Joelle's face.
Oh, boy.
All right, Michelle, thank you for coming on. We always appreciate you educating us, really. And you're educating our audience in new ways of being for people that are out there. You're not just limited to the stuff your parents grew up with. You can do whatever the heck you want.
Michelle, we have two favorite callers that call in. You are one of them, and the other one with the penis doctor.
Yeah,
we got two of them.
We need penis doctor.
Penis doctor back on.
You know what I want to have, Joelle? If you could coordinate this, I'd like to have the device that blows on your penis.
Yes,
that's Donald and I. And then I'd like to have Dr. Penis come on and tell me why I'm now having a female orgasm.
Done.
All right, guys, that's our show. It was a short recap because, as Donald explained to me, they're all recycled jokes. We love you all very much. Michelle, thanks for coming on. And
thanks for coming back on. Tell your husband we said what's up.
Tell your husband we said hello. And
tell his best friend we said what's up.
Tell everybody we said hello. And we love you guys. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made about a bunch of doctors and nurses and a